Well, this evening for this hour, we have Deborah Dombrowski, who is with the Lighthouse Trails Ministry.
We're going to talk about the secret tonight, is that right?
Right, we're going to talk about the secret. And, of course, a lot of Christians are have seen the book or seen the DVD, and they think this is a wonderful, wonderful way to find happiness and fulfillment in their lives. Sydney Rhonda Burns, the secret is promises them things that they could never get simply out of traditional Christianity.
Right, that's true. For those that aren't aware of what the secret is, although most people may have heard of it by now, Rhonda Byrne is the creator of it, and it just came out in, the DVD came out in early 2006, and the book followed around fall of the same year last year. And since then, it has hit the New York Times bestseller list week after week, month after month. USA Today reported just a couple weeks ago that the DVD has now sold over 2 million copies, and there are over 5.2 million copies of the book in print. So it's doing very well. It is very popular. Larry King, most people know who that is. He said that, let me just say this, read this, Larry King calls the DVD the most profound information he has run across in 40 years. So this is something that has really hit pretty hard, and people really are paying attention to it.
Well, Cindy, Oprah Winfrey has endorsed it
exactly.
Not once but twice on her program.
Yes, and since then is really when sales really escalated, because most of us know that if Oprah does promote a book or a movie or anything like that, it's going to do very well. And she has really, in fact, she said that when she did do the two shows on it, she said, this is the message I have been trying to get across for 20 years. So the secret, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, to try to, you know, look at what that message really is that Oprah and others are trying to get across to Christians, to Americans, to the world, really.
Well, I think it's so important that people understand what the message of the secret is, and certainly they promise all sorts of wonderful things. They promise,
right.
They promise personal fulfillment. They promise you that you can have whatever you want.
I read something by Rhonda Byrne, who, like I said, is the one that started it, wrote it. She said that her goal, she just wanted people to be happy. You know, she thinks this is the way for people to be happy, to have what they want in life. All the riches, all the dreams, whatever they want. So on the outside, it could look very, very good because, you know, everybody, you know, somebody that wants everyone to be happy, that sounds really good. So Rhonda, she had kind of hit a low spot in her life and got this illumination of which she found that this secret dated back, you know, thousands of years, and people like Einstein, well, that's not thousands of years, but people like Einstein and Abraham Lincoln, and then going back thousands of years, certain people throughout history had this secret.
I know, and she did specifically mention Plato and Aristotle, mm-hmm. and Pythagoras, people who were aware of this secret, and these great philosophers of the past upon whose work Western civilization is created. And I am sure in my own mind and on my own reading that these men did access the secret information. Pythagoras had gone over into the Near East and that studied the mystery religions, had come back to Greece and actually set up a school where he taught the mystery religions and, of course, the secrets from these ancient religions. So you pick up the story there, Deborah.
Right, and I think that's why, you know, we need to look at what the dynamics of the secret is. That, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about the background of it, how it got started and what made it so popular with Larry King and Oprah's promotion of it. The dynamics of it, in a nutshell, is what they're calling the law of attraction. And it would be like, she says that we're like magnets, and we attract what we think. So if we think good thoughts, then good things are going to happen to us. If we think bad thoughts, bad things are going to happen to us. she also says it's the law of attraction is the same as the law of creation, because the idea is that you actually can create your own reality. They show in one of the trailers, they show a little boy who wants a red bicycle. He wants a bicycle, and he's thinking about this bicycle, and day after day he's thinking about it, and next thing you know, there it is, you know, he's got the bicycle. And this could be another person they show. She is thinking about, you know, she's lonely, and she wants that, you know, the man of her dreams, and she's thinking about it and wishing for it, focusing on it. The next thing you know, she's got the man of her dreams. And so that's kind of the outward dynamic of the secret. It's the law of attraction.
They say that the law of attraction is like the law of gravity. In other words, the law of gravity is a basic physical law.
Exactly.
They claim a law of attraction is a basic physical law, but they don't give you any basis at all for that. And we're going to be back in just a moment with Deborah Dombrowski. Well, Deborah was simply going into the background of the material that Rhonda Burns has put out in her DVD and her book, The Secret. And basically it is founded on the law of attraction, which they claim, like the law of gravity, which is basic physical law, and nobody would question the law of gravity. So the law of attraction is a basic physical law that you attract to you whatever you want. And, of course, if you think good thoughts, good things will happen to you. If you think bad thoughts, bad things will happen to you. And with your mind, you can begin to alter reality. So pick the story up there, Deborah.
Well, and what is interesting is, and what most people will not realize unless they kind of delve into it a little bit, and you can actually see, find this out right in the book itself under her acknowledgments, where she talks or thanks various people, various occultists and different people like that, but she thanks the teachings of Abraham. Now, the teachings of Abraham is a group of spirit guides, non-physical beings, who have given this instruction and information to a couple named, it was Esther Hicks, and Rhonda Byrne has been very close to her and gained much knowledge from her. And so, in reality, The Secret is a channeled work. It's actually been channeled from these spirit guides named Abraham, because really the law of attraction is not a biblical law. It is not biblically grounded at all, but it is grounded in the occultic teachings of demons, and that can be easily proven by the book itself.
Well, all right, how could we prove that through the book itself?
Well, number one is, just as I said, talking about the teachings of Abraham. The fact that she acknowledges that what she says in the book and what her teachers say, because she's got a couple dozen teachers here, she's getting her information from these spirit guides. But then as you go through the book, you begin to realize that the message of the book is not just about getting things for yourself, you know, the riches, the dreams, all of this. It actually is coming to the realization that you are God. And we know from Isaiah 14, when Lucifer said that he, you know, his desire was to be like the Most High God. And that is what is happening in this book, in The Secret. It's this realization that we are really equal to God. And in a few minutes, when we progress a little bit, I want to share something that I actually just found out very recently about the book. But right now, you know, just to understand that the premise of the secret is faulty from the very beginning. It's been inspired by the teachings of Abraham, and then what she has through the book are several teachers that she has turned to for who practice the secret. And throughout there, the message really is the same, that we are co-creators because we are equal to God.
In fact, one of the points that they make is that all material is energy. The material world we live in is energy. That God is energy. That we are energy. therefore we are God. And that's a really sort of an interesting concept. And she even tells you that henceforth, when she refers to you, Y-O-U, it'll be with a capital Y, because you are God.
Right.
And you wonder, what sort of insanity is this? Mm-hmm. And yet that is the basic message of the secret, that you have the ability with your mind to be able to move and change the universe. You can do this, and you can draw to yourself all these wonderful things you want. And the trouble is that in many instances, it actually works. But of course, you're not doing it yourself. It is these spirit beings that you're contacting that are actually rewarding you for your faithfulness.
Right. Something in the beginning of her book, it's actually kind of like a dedication page. It says this: as above, so below; as within, so without. And it's from the Emerald Tablet, about 3000 B.C. And what this is, as above, so below. In fact, interestingly, many of your listeners may know Warren Smith, who wrote Deceived on Purpose, which is the book about purpose-driven life. And Warren Smith talks about this as above, so below, and explains the history of it. And it's a very New Age concept going back to I'll see if I can pronounce this right. Hermes Trismegistus,
right.
I think.
Right.
Did I say that right?
Right.
Something like that. Anyway, that would go back to ancient Egypt, and he was one of these
mythological gods.
Well, that was it, right, but there was an actual person named this also. And basically it would be the kind of the origin of magic, and the belief system of magic anyway, which would be the occult. And that's interesting that she says as above, so below, which is connected to him, because on in her book, she actually talks about various teachings: Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, she even mentions Christianity, Islam, and then she talks about the Hermetic traditions, which are occultic traditions. And so you really can see that this book really does have a foundation of the occult. She starts it from the very first page when she says, as above, so below. Interestingly, on that same concept, there is a book called As Above, So Below, written by Ronald S. Miller and the editors of New Age Journal. And the book talks about what they call the emerging spirituality, or a new era. And the new era is, it says here, it is to realize the divinity within. So this idea of as above, so below, is that God is in all things, and really, because, you know, God is in us all, and we are God, we are co-creators with Him, which goes back to creating our own reality, getting those things we want in life, basically making that law of attraction, making that happen.
And I really think this goes right back to the Garden of Eden.
It does.
Of course, the serpent says to Eve, if you will eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, why, of course, you can become as God, and you will never die.
Mm-hmm.
You will then have unknown, you'll have this great strength, you can become as God. And that is what this whole tradition is about. And, of course, the Emerald Tablet was something that Hermes had. And in the DVD, they very dramatized this very, very beautifully. There's this man who got hold of the Emerald Tablet, and he put a piece of paper on it, and then he scribbled on it so that he would actually be able to then transfer the message onto this paper, and then he buried it. And it was always, of course, to be hidden from the public. The public, the people were never to understand what the secret was.
And that really is the opposite of the gospel message.
Hey, right.
This reminds me a lot of the emerging church that's taking place right now. It's really a lot of the same thing going on, and that's a lot of, there's one of, not to get off track here, but one of the emerging leaders, Brian McLaren, has a book called The Secret Message of Jesus. But in reality, there is no secret message of Jesus. The gospel was presented, it says that Jesus Christ come in the flesh. I mean, he is the mystery of God is Jesus Christ that was fulfilled through him. And the gospel is not hidden. It's available, it's there, and it's, you know, it offers sinful man free salvation. Whereas the thing, in fact, the word occult, and Ray might have talked about this when he was on, Ray Young, and the word occult means hidden. It actually means hidden, the hidden things. And so what we have here are two opposite things going on. You've got the gospel, which is Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and then you've got the secret. And in reality, Brian McLaren's book should have been called The Secret Message of the Emerging Church, because that's where the real secret and the hidden things are, and because they're occultic.
And, of course, this has been around for 5,000 years, and because the secret was always this, that you could contact the other dimension, and there was where the power was. And this is where Pythagoras got his knowledge and power, and where Plato and Aristotle and Alexander the Great got their knowledge and power. And many great people have learned this, and they've accomplished great and amazing things. But it was because they contacted the spirit guides from the other dimension. And they utilized their knowledge and their power for personal advancement and gain. But, of course, one day they're going to have to pay, and I'm sure many of them have paid, by eternal damnation. But this knowledge has been passed down, hidden for really thousands of years. And it is interesting, Deborah, that at this time in history, this would be widely popularized and being given to really millions of people throughout the world who are going to be taken into the demonic realm.
Right, and, you know, what this really is it's a jumping ground to a mystical paradigm shift that's taking place. You know, you take yoga and Reiki and, of course, now the secret. You put all these, and contemplative in the Christian church and all of these things. There is definitely a mystical paradigm shift taking place where thousands, millions of people are practicing mysticism. And, you know, the scriptures in the Old Testament, you know, where they talk about do not turn to mediums, do not, you know, go to the mediums. What's really happening here, and Ray and I were talking about this before the show, what's really happening is people are not just going to mediums anymore, they are becoming mediums. But not just a few anymore, millions of people.
And they're able then to contact these demonic beings.
Right.
And they themselves then have the potential to become channelers, just as Esther Hicks, who was the inspiration for this whole thing, at least according to Rhonda Byrne, and was actually in the original presentation. They took her out because they didn't want the American people or the people going into this to realize that came from the demonic realm. Go right ahead, Deborah.
Well, I was, talking about this kind of jump into this, you know, this paradigm shift of mysticism. And it's interesting, but one of the things I was thinking about recently is Harry Potter. And a lot of people think that even many Christians don't really believe in a supernatural. They think it's kind of silly, that it's just nonsense. And that's often why some of them will say, well, there's nothing harmful about something like Harry Potter and nothing harmful about even yoga, because these are just things we do. There's no supernatural connotation there. But something that Ray has pointed out in Harry Potter is this term super consciousness. And that's interesting because that is even used in witchcraft. And that super consciousness is basically, it's the same thing as the secret. It's just realizing that inner being who can do all things, and he is equal to God. And while Harry Potter may appear to be very harmless, it's just another piece of the puzzle that is taking society into this mystical world. And so the question people have to ask, what realm is this mystical world? Is it the realm of God, or is it the realm of evil? We believe it's the realm of evil. you know. And so when people say, well, these things are just silly or ridiculous or they don't really mean anything, that actually isn't true. I've read a lot of the different news articles that have come out, and some have come out and said, oh, the secret is just a hoax or it's silly. Now, there may be that aspect of it in one sense, but in reality, it's very real, because we know the Bible says that there is a spiritual realm. And there is a spiritual warfare going on. And we often think that everything we see is just, I mean, that everything that is real is just what we see with our, you know, our eyes. But that's not the case at all. And this is a perfect example of that. And Rhonda Byrne, I believe she knows that. I can't say what her motivation. She says her motivation is to make people happy. But where is she getting that information? Where is she getting her energy, you could say?
Well, I think that, of course, she knows that Esther Hicks, who actually was in the original version of the film, and she actually was the narrator of it, and then they took her out. And I don't know what the financial arrangements were, but certainly she's acknowledged in the book as one of the inspirations for this. But Esther Hicks was actually a medium, and she channeled this group of demonic beings, these spirits known as Abraham. She travels across the country, channeling these spirits. And certainly Rhonda Byrne's know that this is based upon channeling of the spirits. And believe me, these spirits are real. They're not imaginary. And people are opening their minds and their very souls to this demonic possession. This is the thing that really frightens me about the whole implications of the secret, because millions of people are laying themselves open to eternal damnation.
Right, and one of the things that with Esther Hicks, she promotes meditation, and when she was...
Hold that though, we'll be right back in just a moment.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Deborah Dombrowski. And Deborah was just saying that Esther Hicks, who is certainly the person who came up with this idea of the law of attraction, she's written a book about it. And certainly, of course, Rhonda Byrne admits that she got a great deal of her information from Esther and Jerry Hicks, who certainly Esther channels a group of demonic spirits known as Abraham. And yet, of course, they're not going to tell the people who are being introduced to this whole concept of the secret that it is founded in the occult. So go right ahead there, Deborah.
So Esther Hicks, she is a practitioner and a promoter of meditation, and not speaking of meditating on, you know, the Word of God that the Bible tells us to do, consciously meditating on His Word. But a mantra-type meditation where if you repeat a word or a phrase, or you focus on your breath, or you focus on some object, you can actually go into an altered state where you supposedly can get information. Some people think they're getting information from God. In Esther Hicks's case, she would be getting her information from the teachings of Abraham, from these teachings, from these spirit guides. One of the things, when she was left out of the final copy of The Secret, for they had, I think, a falling out of some sort, something happened there, like you mentioned, the meditation element was, you know, really kind of left out too. And what we're kind of wondering is, what's going to happen next with Rhonda Byrne and The Secret? Is there going to be a second stage here, where they will now be able to, this was kind of getting people used to the idea of the law of attraction, and now, you know, is meditation going to actually come into play here? And so I think it's going to be very interesting to see what transpires with this whole thing, and just how people are going to continue to react. We're talking, like I said, 5.2 million copies of the book in print, and over 2 million copies of the DVD sold. So with a DVD, that means far more than 2 million people have viewed that DVD. Most people share a DVD with their family, maybe some friends. And so millions of people are being affected. And it's not going to just end. We kind of wondered, is this just going to die down after a few months? But that isn't happening. It's still on the New York sellers, New York Times bestsellers list under how-to books, I believe.
Well, of course, one of the things that what they have you just sit there and begin concentrating on what you want. You want a new car?
Right.
Why you imagine you're in that car. And in the process, you're really almost in the process of meditating. You want a necklace. You want this beautiful necklace. You begin
right.
to meditate. You begin to focus your attention on that necklace. And, of course, a DVD dramatically shows how the necklace will come to you. The car will come to you. The home will come to you. Whatever you focus your attention on, you're going to be able to get.
Right, and so in a way, it already is right. got the meditation aspect of it because of that focusing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And and like you said, people get results sometimes. I don't know how many million kids now, but I know it's over 4 million kids that have been in the public schools that have been on Ritalin for what they say are hyperactive children. And they're actually teaching kids to meditate now and taking them off Ritalin. And they're saying it works.
And it does work. But the thing is, of course, what are you doing to that child's soul? What are you doing to their mind?
And, when you look at all the different scriptures in the Old Testament that say, do not turn to mediums, do not turn to spiritists, do not practice divination. Divination is, how I see it, because in divination, you do some kind of method or ritual or something, some kind of focusing, whatever, to gain some information from, in that case, a spirit guide. And the Bible is very clear that we are not to do this. So regardless of whether people think, well, if it works, then it must be good, that is not true, and that is not a biblical principle. To say that just because something feels good or works, that it's okay to do that, because that is really not putting our foot. That's the carnal mind as opposed to the spiritual mind,
amen,
which we can only have in Christ.
And I really think that this is one of the most dangerous things I've ever seen, because it is so alluring. It certainly gives you this feeling. What could be wrong if you really could, of course, get anything you wanted simply by learning how to manipulate the universe with your mind? And those are their words, not mine. But, of course, you're not really manipulating the universe. You're opening it up to demonic possession. We'll be right back with Rhonda. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And, of course, one of the things that bothers me, Rhonda, is the fact that one of the things that bothers me is that, there seems to be so little opposition to this. Certainly on the major television, all we hear, maybe a little criticism. Well, how can these things really work? And are we maybe going to give some people the idea that, well, they're responsible for their bad luck because they were thinking about it? And how do you explain the hurricane in New Orleans? Were all these people thinking about a hurricane? Is that why the reason that the hurricane came?
Right.
And yet, of course, Rhonda always has an explanation. And I don't know if you've read any of her interviews, but she says, yes, these people were all thinking about a hurricane, and that's why it came to them. And she sees nothing dangerous about what she is advocating.
And it really is a mockery against God, against the creator of the universe. Because, to say that, it's just a mockery. And you were talking a minute ago about just how people don't seem to be really, for the most part, having any problem with it. And when you've got someone like Larry King saying it's the most profound information that he's run across in 40 years, that's a pretty powerful statement. He's seen a lot of different types of information, talked to a lot of different people, and he's saying this is the most incredible that he's ever seen. That really says a lot, and I'm kind of amazed that he would say something like that, really, because he's giving it a very powerful endorsement.
Well, of course, it's been endorsed by a number of people. Jim Carrey has endorsed this. Mm-hmm. Ellen DeGeneres has endorsed this as well, saying, of course, that she agrees with these concepts. But I think the most dangerous thing for people is the endorsement by Oprah Winfrey, because she professes to be a Christian.
Yes, she does.
And yet, of course, this is certainly the furthest thing from the Christ of the Bible. Now, I think where we get into trouble is there are many people who claim to be Christians, but they worship a different Christ.
Right, right. And the Bible warns us about that, too. It says, you know, that there will be many that will come in the name of Christ or saying that they are Christ or a Christ. And I think we're witnessing that right now. I know Ray has talked a lot about that, and just there's always been different signs. You know, the Bible talks about different signs that will happen in the last days, but one thing that there wasn't so much of as there is now, and that is mysticism. And it has really gone rampant. It is in the church. It is in, you know, the Christian church at large.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Deborah Dombrowski from Lighthouse Trails Ministry. And Deborah, before we go on, I want you to go ahead and get your web page and any information you'd like to get out, a telephone number or something of that sort, for our listeners so that they could get your very excellent information. I would point out that Lighthouse Trails puts out an email warning on a regular basis, something that every one of you in the audience needs to read. I'm sure they agonize over it. They do a great job. They have information you will not find elsewhere. Well-researched, foundational to the Christian faith. So how can people get in touch with your organization and get your information?
Well, when they're on the Internet, the best way, we have three websites, but the main one, lighthousetrailsresearch.com, just like it sounds, lighthousetrails, with an S, research.com. And there are hundreds of pages and thousands of links, and it's topically and alphabetically indexed, and there's a search engine, so it's, you know, pretty easy to get around. There's also a blog that you can get to from that main site. And also our publishing site. We started off as a small publisher when we came across a book, a manuscript that was talking about contemplative prayer, and we wanted to see it get published, and eventually we were able to publish that. So that's kind of how we got started. But if they go to that main site, lighthousetrailsresearch.com, they can sign up for the free e-newsletter, which we put out about once a week right to your email. And then there's the blog and things like that. So there's a lot of information. And then we also have a links page that lists several wonderful ministries that are really doing what we're doing, too. We all have a little different emphasis, you might say, but it's really our hope is that we're helping the body of Christ, assisting in giving them the information that they need to make some decisions about, you know, and for those that you know are not part of the body of Christ, we hope that we can present the gospel, that they can see what the gospel is. And so that links page is good, too, and you can see that at the top of the page there, and that has about 25 different other organizations that also are giving out very good information.
And, of course, we carry a number of the books that they put out, The Time of Departing by Ray Youngen, and then his latest book, Many Have Come in My Name, or First Many Shall Come in My Name. And then, of course, we carry the published Warren Smith's books. What are the titles of those?
Warren Smith's books are Deceived on Purpose, which the first book he had was The Light That Was Dark. That's his testimony. Excellent book.
We carry that one.
And Deceived on Purpose is the story about, or the book about the, it says here, the subtitle, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. That is a fantastic book. And both of those can be actually gotten through Bookmasters.
Well, we actually carry both of them.
And you're carrying those.
Right, right.
That's right. So they can just get them from you. And then he has an online book called Reinventing Jesus Christ. Excellent book. And you can just go to www.reinventingjesuschrist.com. And that is a very important book as well.
And then you have a book, I believe, by Mrs. Dietmann about her experiences in Germany. What's that one?
Yes, we do. We started, it's called Trapped in Hitler's Hell. It's a true story of a Holocaust survivor. Her name is Anita Dietmann. She is still alive. She's 80 years young. I say young because she still goes out and speaks to groups about her experience in Germany. She was a Jewish believer. She became a Christian as a young girl, and she—that's her story. She's been on your show, and she loves being on your show. And she's just a wonderful woman. I just love her, and she is such an inspiration. And we published that book. It was a reprint. But we did our own edition of it with photos and everything because we really see the connection. People were so blindsided by Hitler, and we believe that they're being blindsided today by what's happening.
I agree with you. In fact, we even have a 4-tape set, including an interview with Mrs. Dietmann, but it's called The Truth About the Holocaust, and we have her testimony and the testimony of other people who lived through that terrible time. The Truth About the Holocaust, information you will not get elsewhere, 4 CDs, 4 tapes on that subject. And Anita Dietmann is one of the people. Well, if you're out in the listening audience, you have a question for Deborah in reference to The Secret and what she's talking about, this sudden introduction of a concept that is so foreign to traditional Christianity. And basically what this is this information that comes down from Hermes, and it comes down to the ancient mystics and magicians of Babylon and Assyria and Egypt. And then, of course, we find these concepts codified in the Kabbalah about 600 B.C. We find them, of course, codified and utilized by the Gnostics. Certainly, this was the source of so much of the information and the secret information that was transmitted by the Greek philosophers to their students, Pythagoras, certainly, and then 2 generations later, Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great was a student of the mysteries, and that's how he was able to accomplish the amazing military feats he did. If you doubt that, you need to see my talk entitled The Forbidden Secret. And then, of course, we trace these things up through the time of the Templars in 11 and 1200s, and then, of course, into the Rosicrucians in the 1400s. And if you were to watch the video, The Secret, frame by frame, at each break before you go into a new a master of wisdom or a new teacher, you would find there scrawled on the screen in just one frame, you'll find, of course, this it's the word, they actually use the word Rosicru. It doesn't say shun, but R-O-S-A-C-R-U-C. And basically, this is Rosicrucianism. And, of course, it comes down to the Illuminati and all of these other things, and right up into modern times. It is ancient mysticism repackaged. Go ahead. Deborah?
Yes. Let's see. Where are we at now?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Onto The Secret, you mean?
Yeah. On The Secret, right.
Okay. I was going to actually read a couple quotes from The Secret. They're short ones, just to kind of, show people what this book is really, saying. And some of the people may have heard some of these, but I'll just read a couple of them. The first one is on page 175 of The Secret. It says, "We are the creators not only of our own destiny, but also of the universe. We are all connected, and we are all one." Next one, "No matter who you thought you were, now you know the truth of who you really are. You are the master of the universe. You are the heir to the kingdom. You are the perfection of life." And then one more, last one. That was page 183. This is page 164. "You are God in a physical body. You are all power. You are all intelligence. You are the creator." And I would think that if anyone had any questions about The Secret, that when they got to those last pages and they read those statements, that they would realize that this is a very anti-biblical, anti-God, anti-creator book. I don't know how else to put it.
And the idea that we are the creator, that we are God? I mean, right. What sort of blasphemy is that?
It is. It is blasphemy. And to think that even some Christians see nothing wrong with it, think it's just a way to, you know, positive thinking or something. In fact, I mentioned this when, you know, we talked about this before. Erwin McManus, who is one of, I consider him an emerging church leader, he... John Gordon, who is a friend of his, John Gordon is a New Age promoter, wrote the book called The 10-Minute Energy Solution. Some people may have heard of that, where he talks about the Dalai Lama and meditation and various things like that. But they were having a discussion. This was on John Gordon's website. And they talked about the fact that we as people are co-creators of life with God. And John Gordon really likes The Secret. He believes that it's a very important work and a very, you know, important book. And so this idea of co-creator, some Christians may hear of that if their churches are getting into the emerging teachings, the emerging church teachings, because there's a Willow Creek talks about this. A lot of people have heard of Willow Creek Church, and they have the leadership summits with a lot of well-known people. And so this, it's really the same idea that we can create our own reality. And so when you think about all the things we've talked about tonight, the idea that it would actually be in Christian churches, but it is. It's really the same thing. Thomas Merton, he said, and Thomas Merton would be kind of like the father of the modern contemplative prayer movement. He said that if we realized what was in each one of us, we'd bow down and worship one another, because he believed that God was in all things also and all people. And so sometimes some of these things look like they're different, but in reality, I believe they're all going in the same direction. There's only two directions to go in life. That's either toward God or away from God. And the Bible says the only way you can go toward God is through Jesus Christ. So if something is not giving him glory and is not really pointing to him, then it's going the other direction.
And I really think, Christy, the important thing is that either God is God and we are his creation, or, of course, we are God, and we don't need a Savior. We can actually transform anything we want to on our own, and that is Lucifer's lie.
Mm-hmm. Right, because Christianity and the gospel of Jesus Christ, yes, it is a man, a woman. You must humble yourself and acknowledge, I am a sinner. I need God. I need a Savior. I actually find it, in a sad way, humorous to think that we would call ourselves co-creators when we can't even create a speck of dust. We could sit there and we can't create anything on our own. And one of the books by one of the emerging guys called Rob Bell, his name is Rob Bell, the book is Velvet Elvis. Amazingly enough, the book actually, I don't have it in front of me right now, I forgot to grab that one, but he talks about being, you know, co-creator. And how land is a co-creator with God. But if you took a barren piece of land, you put it there, it's not going to create anything on its own. It's going to stay barren. It is God who is the creator. And but yet, that book, Velvet Elvis, is being used in Christian high schools and junior high schools. That's incredible. So really, the very message of The Secret, that we are all co-creators and that, you know, we can create our own, is being promoted in the Christian church today.
And I think the trouble is that nobody's out there warning Christians. This is the thing that really disturbs me about all of this, is that there is no voice on the other side.
Well, and on the contrary, in fact, we just put an article on our blog just a few days ago, because there was an article by Erwin McManus, and I don't have it right in front of me, but basically very upset with those people that would be critical of him and other emerging leaders, Rick Warren, who I consider an emerging leader, saying that, you know, it's really terrible, and actually saying that people that criticize them are violent, and saying really, in essence, that they don't want anybody to criticize or to question them at all. And that is something that is kind of scary when you see this marginalization of Bible-believing Christians, where we are looked at as spiritual oddballs if we say that we don't really believe that mysticism is of God. Suddenly we are made to look like there's something wrong with us. And like you say, the media, in fact, one of the new books we have coming out is called Faith Undone by Roger Oakland. It's got some really powerful information in there about the church and the emerging church. But it talks in one of the chapters about how some of this got started. And it was really very well financed. It was not just a move by like a bunch of young people. It was really very well financed. And people can read about that in the book. But things are not always as they seem. Isn't that something you say on your show? You know, things just are not always as they seem. And people need to be looking. And if the leaders, whoever a person's leaders are, if they are not saying, if they're not warning about spiritual deception, then the average person needs to stop and say, okay, I need to stop looking to leaders. I need to look to the Word of God. I need to seek this out and find out what the truth is myself, rather than just blindly following the next leader, whoever that might be at the time. Rick Warren has been a leader. That's been very clear. Is he leading people, you know, toward or away from God? That's something people need to ask themselves and study these things. And not just accept everything, and not definitely not accept everything Oprah's saying.
And I think when people say they're Christians, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're worshiping the same Jesus Christ that we worship.
Right.
It's not the Christ of the Bible, it's another Christ. In fact, the Muslims worship Jesus, but he is simply a prophet, like Muhammad, only an inferior prophet. And the New Agers talk about not Jesus Christ, but the Christ. And that is, of course, is a position. It is not, of course, the position of divinity. He is not Lord. He is simply another avatar who's come to lead us into an understanding that we are God.
That's a really good point, too. And one of the things that's happening is a movement called the Spiritual Formation Movement, where they're saying, if you do certain practices, which, by the way, meditation happens to be pretty much the main one, if you do certain practices, you can be like Christ. Now, that is opposed to the idea of having Jesus Christ living inside of you, being born again, like the Bible talks about, and actually having the indwelling of Christ. Those are two different things. And so they say you can be a Christ follower. You don't necessarily have to associate with being a Christian. In other words, you don't have to have Jesus in you. You can just do the things that he did and be like him. But then why not, you could say the same thing, you could be do the same things that Gandhi did and be like Gandhi. So there's a difference there, and that's where it can be very deceiving, because if you hear a Christian leader say that you can be a Christ follower, if you do these practices, you can be just like Christ, there's a difference there.
And I think we have to be so careful about this meditation, this contemplative meditation, that ever to want to get to experience Christianity. Christian mysticism is a path away from Jesus Christ into an entirely different realm. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program. Well, we have Will calling from Missouri, who's been waiting very patiently. Will, did you have a question for our guest?
I do. The first part of it would be a question. The second part of it would be perhaps dialogue along the same lines. But I would wonder whether or not Deborah had ever heard of Paul J. Meyer and the Success Motivation Institute.
I haven't heard of that, no. Now, Ray Youngin may have, but I haven't.
Well, Paul Meyer developed this system out of Waco, Texas, and sold it widely. But it's been picked up by many people, including the Amway organization. I'm a former distributor of the Success Motivation Institute products, and made several trips down to Waco to get training and to sell their products, which were basically tapes and books, etc. But this process that you're describing sounds very much the same as what I experienced there. Through the process of goal setting and affirmation and visualization, the same story is being sold to those people. Mm. Unfortunately, I was duped by it, but later I discovered, and I would agree, that this is not something that you want to play with. It's certainly not something you want to delve into, and you really need to do your homework before you go there.
I think it's this visualization, of course, that almost puts you in a meditative state. Well, and of course, this is an old trick. It's been around for about 5,000 years, and I think you're absolutely right. We certainly don't want to play with it.
No.
We want to warn people away from it.
Absolutely.
Well, and with those motivational programs, like you said, Amway, and think about how many others like that there are now, different products and different companies where probably that they are doing a lot of, I've heard some of them, and now that you've mentioned what you're, you know, talking about, I realize, you know, that, and so there are, you know, millions of people doing these programs, whether it's selling products or some kind of motivational for business. And Ray talks about this in his book, For Many Shall Come in My Name, just how the business world and the health industry and just all of it has been just overtaken by this kind of thinking.
In particular, the sales aspect of it. You know, when we think about positive mental attitude and time management, we can go back and start with Dale Carnegie and come up through Napoleon Hill and Maxwell Maltz, his Psycho-Cybernetics, the Pacific Institute. The whole thing is designed for self-programming and developing this system, but unfortunately...
Well, we're going to have to let you go, but you're absolutely right. All of these lead us away from our Creator, our Lord. Good night. Thanks so much. That's a good point. And Deborah, the hour has flown by. I want to thank you so very much for being with us again.
Well, thank you very much, Dan.
And so our guest has been Deborah Dombrowski, and we're talking about The Secret.